He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them that they may be saved. It is written, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. It is written, but they did all hearken unto the glad tidings, for that Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is written, but as to Israel, he saith, all day long did I stretch forth my hand to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. If to Christ our only King, men redeemed we strive to bring, just one way may this be done, we must win them one by one. Side by side we stand each day, saved are we, but lost are they. They will come if we but dare speak a word backed up by prayer. Only cowards dare refuse, dare this gift of God misuse. Ere some friend goes to his grave, speak a word his soul to save. Not for hope of great reward, turn men's hearts into the Lord. Just to see a saved man smile makes the efforts well worthwhile. So you bring the one next to you, and I'll bring the one next to me. In all kinds of weather, we'll all work together and see what can be done. If you bring the one next to you, and I bring the one next to me, in no time at all, we'll win them all. So win them, one by one. God is just a prayer away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, 10 questions from Romans chapter 10. It may be just a coincidence, but Romans chapter 10 does have 10 questions. Paul begins when he says, his heart's desire and supplication for Israel is that they might be saved. If his prayer was that they might be saved, then in their present condition they must have been lost. To some it may sound as if Paul was very negative and hard-hearted. If any man had a right to feel unkind, it was Paul. When he became an apostle of the Lord at Damascus, these people he was praying for had tried to kill him. They had watched the gates day and night and to do him in. His disciples let him down through the wall, lowering him in a basket. In that basket that night was hanging the destiny of thousands of churches and at least 100 chapters of the New Testament. That night, God was depending on the ropes and basket squad. Praise God for the ropes and basket squad. Every congregation needs to have one. The names of these men are not given. Their names may not have been printed in the next Sunday's bulletin, but God knew who they were, and someday they will be known in heaven as the ropes and basket squad, even though no one will want to be let down over the Jasper Wall. And remember, that night there was no stretch limousine outside the wall to whisk him away to a non-existent Damascus International Airport. He had to hit the ground running, or at best by riding a valet donkey waiting for him in the bushes as he came down the side of the wall. Now here is the list of the 10 questions of Romans chapter 10. Number 1, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? There is no way for us to go to heaven and bring Jesus back down to give us another plan of salvation. In John 6, Jesus said, "I am come down out of heaven." And that question has been settled down here just before Jesus died on the cross when he said, "It is finished." Then after the resurrection, Jesus told the apostles in Luke 24, "By his resurrection, all things written in the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets had been fulfilled." One time the United States used to be under the British rule. After the Revolution, we were under a new government. In a similar way, mankind was judged by the law of Moses. Jesus, by his victory at the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God, fulfilled the law, and now we are all under the new covenant. Man can blast off Cape Canaveral and go to the moon and bring back rocks, but he cannot blast off from Cape Calvary and go to the third heaven and bring down another message concerning the Rock of Ages. Jesus has already descended from heaven when he was born of the Virgin, died on a cross, arose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and he will descend again in his own good time. There's nothing we can do to bring him down. Question number 2. Who shall descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Many try to get their answer of eternal life by spiritualism. Many times we hear of something called after-death experiences. One man who's a member of a church where I was preaching one time told me he died on the operating table and saw beautiful lights and saw his body on the operating table, and then he came back to life. They all tell the same stories. They see bright lights, and everyone is enjoying themselves. Since Jesus said that many enter in through the broad gate to destruction, and only a few go through the narrow gate, I am prone to think if anybody ever came back from what they call the dead with a report, they saw their relatives begging for a drop of water to cool their tongue in the place of torment, like the man in Luke 16, one might be tempted to believe their story. Actually, no one dies and comes back to life before the resurrection day. In Hebrews 9, it is written, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Ladies and gentlemen, there is only one death to a customer. On the day of Pentecost, Peter referred to the prophecy about the death of Jesus. Thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Hades is a spirit world. Anyone who asks this question will go to Hades anyway, sooner or later in person, and they will not find Jesus there. He has been there already and gone back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. Been there and done that. Question number 3. But what saith it? The answer Paul gives to this is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then Paul said, Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now Paul also made that same statement regarding his conversion in Acts 22, after he had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and spent 3 days neither eating nor drinking. The Lord sent a disciple named Ananias to tell him, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are all included in the statement, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then there was that encouraging statement of Paul when he said, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Many Christians are ashamed to appear too religious before a world that ridicules their faith. But remember, in Mark 8, Jesus said, Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and his angels. As Christians, we have no reason to be ashamed. The world may laugh and mock the Christian, but that will change on the day of judgment. Isaiah 65:13 tells us the mockers, the day will come when his people shall rejoice, and then the mockers will be the ones who will be ashamed. Question number 4. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way anyone can believe on Jesus if they have never heard of him. What about the heathen who have never heard of Jesus? What will God do with them? What God will do with those who have never heard is the Lord's business. Our obligation, in the meanwhile, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and let God take care of the rest. Question number 5. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? If I had never heard of Jesus and someone told me to believe on him, I would say, what am I to believe about him? It is not enough to tell someone to believe on Jesus, and they will be saved if they don't tell them what to believe. Paul told the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What was the jailer to believe? He did not know what to believe until Paul told him. So don't leave the jailhouse too soon. What did Paul tell him? Listen to Paul again. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway, and he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ included hearing the word, Believing included repentance indicated by his washing their stripes. Repentance included the same hour of the night baptizing them. It also included the Holy Spirit indicated by rejoicing greatly with all his hosts. Number 6. How shall they hear without a preacher? That is a scriptural question because Jesus said in the Great Commission according to Mark, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He was speaking to the apostles at that time, and they did what they were sent to do. But now the apostles are all gone, and more preachers are needed. The late General Omar Bradley, one of the 5-star officers of World War II, said, "What this country needs is not more scientists, but more preachers." At that time, the population of the United States of America was a little more than 140 million people. Today, we have more than twice that number. So the need for preachers is greater now than ever in this country alone. Since Jesus wants every individual to hear the gospel and obey it, Paul's question is more relevant now than ever before. How shall they hear without a preacher? Number 7. How shall they preach, except they be sent? Paul told the apostles to pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. So now we know which ones are sent. Jesus told the apostles to send laborers into harvest. One example is found in Acts, the 13th chapter, in the church at Antioch. The Holy Spirit spoke to the leaders of that church and said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The elders laid their hands on them with fasting and prayer and sent them away. The Holy Spirit puts it into the heart, and then the church sends them forth. It does not seem logical, considering the greater need today, that the Lord is sending out less and less to preach the word than ever before. It may be that the Lord wants more and more to go and preach the word, but they just won't go. Question number 8. Lord, who hath believed our report? Is there any preacher who at some time or other that has not asked that question? Lord, doesn't anybody believe anything anymore? Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on the radio for over 40 years, and all kinds of questions have been asked. Some I could answer and some I could not. But there is one important question that has only been asked twice in all those 40 years. And that question is, what must I do to be saved? Perhaps the reason it's not being asked is, what difference does it make? People are convinced that God will save everybody anyway except Hitler and the devil. Perhaps they think it's all a matter of how you look at it. One way is as good as another. Ladies and gentlemen, I find myself in a peculiar position. I'm always answering a question nobody is asking. But I'll tell you something. I am going to continue to answer it anyway. Question number 9. But I say, did they not hear? The obvious answer, as far as Paul was concerned, was, yes, they had heard. He was speaking of his own race. Jesus had come into his own, and they that were his own received him not. They turned a deaf ear to what they had heard. How about today? Have they not heard? Yes, people all over this planet have heard. This ministry is one example in many where people have heard in many places. by radio, AM dial, shortwave, XM radio, by website and satellite, any place on planet Earth, the gospel can be heard today. Indications of those who have heard this ministry alone have been received in many places on this planet, in every continent. Some believe what they hear and want more information, and they get it. Some don't believe. One writer from Norway tells us, "You freak me out. You are really sick. And I hope that you'll one day wake up and see how wrong you are. Start taking responsibility for your own actions. Do things for yourself and for those around you, and not for some imaginary little g God in the sky. You are scary." Actually, if everyone felt that way, that would be really scary. Did they not hear? Question number 10. Did they not know? One thing for sure, people today cannot plead ignorance. Most people today are more conversant with the Bible than it appears. Some may never have read the Bible. Some may never have darkened the door of a church. For some, no Christian has ever entered their home and tried to lead them into saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have never talked to a preacher about the matter. But on the other hand, they know more about God's Word than what you might think. There are at least four religious terms that most everybody knows that come from the Bible. One of those terms that everybody knows about, you hear about it all the time, is hell. If you are in the workaday world, the school-a-day world, the sports-a-day world, or any kind of a day world, you will hear the word hell mentioned several times every day. People even tell their friends to go there. The second religious term that all have heard is the word damn. You hear it every day in those whatever it is a world day we're talking about. Someone is always damning somebody or something. Damn refers to damnation. Everybody knows about damnation. It's in the Bible. They may never have read the Bible, but they heard about it. There can be no excuse on the judgment day about the heavy toll on the souls of men about sin. And the word damn, they certainly talk about it enough. Is there anyone, Bible or no Bible, church or no church, who has not heard of damnation? Have they not heard? The third religious term people everywhere know is the name Jesus Christ. You hear it every day in praise or profanity, one way or the other. People stub their toe and speak that name. Did you ever see anyone stub their toe or mash their finger and holler, "George Washington!" or "Abraham Lincoln!" No one can plead ignorance of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Most of the irreligious people talk about him every day. Hollywood loves to use the name of Jesus Christ as a byword as much as they can. In every sentence, have they not heard? The fourth religious word everybody knows, it comes from the Bible and uses by those who are in the members of the kingdom of Satan, some church members, I'm sorry to say, is God's name used as a byword. If someone tells them that a friend has died, they exclaim, "Oh my God!" Someone says a certain friend has been fired, they say, "Oh my God!" If someone stubs his toe, they say, "Oh my God!" On that day, be assured, when the Lord comes again and splits the heavens with his regal splendor, surrounded by all the holy angels, and the sight of the saved rising to meet him in the air, is there any doubt that millions will say, "Oh, my God!" Paul sums up the 10 questions of Romans 10 with this warning from Isaiah 65, the second verse. "But as to Israel, he saith, all day long I spread out my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people." Isaiah, in his prophecy, added this thought when he referred to a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, and a rebellious people who walk in their own way. Ladies and gentlemen, the nail-pierced hands of Jesus on the cross are the hands that are spread out to lost sinners. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely." As long as your day of life will last, the hands of Jesus are stretched out to you in invitation to come to him. On the calendar, the longest day in the year is in the month of June. The shortest day is in December. So it is with humanity. Not all lifetimes are the same. They vary in length. All of us are aware of many in our experience who have had a December lifespan. They're gone from the world and all too soon. Others, their lifespan is more like the length of a summer day in June. In either case, the outstretched hands of Jesus on the cross are spread out to you in invitation, and they will stay stretched out as long as your day lasts. But every day comes to a close. Sunset will come, and then the outstretched hands of Jesus will be brought together in judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website. Remember, until next week at the same time, to tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away. Just a